The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. John, chapter 16. Just as you're turning there, let me just remind you, since this is our month of missions, one of the things that we have encouraged you to do is to prayerfully consider what you would like to give towards missions. You can designate that in the normal ways that you give. And so if you are designating specifically to missions above your regular giving, that's going to be divided up in three particular ways: through the International Mission Board, North American Mission Board, and then our missions efforts through the State Missionary Louisiana Baptist Convention. So we just ask you to prayerfully consider. Now, we as a church, we do set aside about 11% out of everything that's given here for the sake of missions. And the month of missions, then the things that you give goes on top of that as well. Well, yesterday, as you're turning to your scriptures, let me just highlight, we did one of our local missions efforts, Declare and Serve, our very first day that we've done like that. And so we had 34 individuals who were serving yesterday in four different locations that we were able to serve some of our widows. Next week, we hope to be able to give you some pictures that you can see. People worked very tirelessly for many hours yesterday to bless many people. And I'm so grateful for those of you who did serve. And I pray that you would be willing to do that next time. We hope to do that maybe once a quarter. So we'll send you pictures or give you pictures next week so you can hear that. So prayerfully consider your gift of missions. All right, let's say the word. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15 is our text today. Let me give you two other passages of Scripture that you need to have prepared, as we will look at them as well. 1 John 2 is on the screen for you, but let me also give you one more that's not on the screen. 2 Peter chapter 1 that we'll be looking at as well. Today, in John chapter 16, we're going to see Jesus' teaching in regards to how he helps believers, specifically the disciples, and then also for us as the one who can guide us as well as to glorify Jesus. Now, we have studied the Holy Spirit some. In John chapter 14, as Jesus was already talking to his disciples about the role of the Holy Spirit. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been given the Holy Spirit. You have been given him to live inside of you, and we're going to see specifically, as Jesus continues to help us to understand his role for us even today. Now, as we look at this specific text in John chapter 6, let me put it to you in context of all that's going on. Remember in John chapter 12, Jesus has ended his public ministry and has transitioned to a private ministry to his teaching with his disciples. He is in what we call the upper room, chapter 12 and chapter 13 and chapter 14. He's sharing the Passover with them, and he is teaching them some very final things that he wants them to get and understand before he's going to be crucified, before he rises again, and before he is ascended and to be at the right hand of the Father. It is in chapter 12 and 13 that Jesus gives the example of service and ministry, how he washes their feet and tells us that we are to love like he did, that we are to love even our enemies, because remember, Judas was in that room when he did so. We get to chapter 14, and Jesus then tells them that he is going to give them another helper of the same kind like he himself. That doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is going to be a second class, but when he says he's going to give us another helper once he is gone, he's going to be with them. He's going to help them. And so then in chapter 15, a transition happens again. After Jesus has taught them, spent some time with them in the Passover, chapter 15, they leave the room. So literally chapter 15 and chapter 16, where we are today, is that Jesus is walking with his disciples, although they don't know this. He is walking to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's going to pray, where he's going to be arrested, and then that night where he will be questioned, and he will stand trial, and then he will be crucified the following day. This is literally the last hours of his life. These are the things that he wants his disciples to get. He wants them to understand. And so what we have here in chapter 16 is another instruction about the Holy Spirit. If that's the case, if Jesus has taught about the Holy Spirit in the upper room, and he's talking about him again on the way to the prayer time, you have to conclude that he wants them to understand this and get this. Even if he says the exact same thing, we're not skipping over it. Because what he wants them to get and what we need to get is that the Holy Spirit is the helper that we have today. And we need to rely on him. We need to depend upon him, and we need to understand what Jesus says. There's two specific things that he's going to give us today in this passage of Scripture. But let me remind you, before we get to these two things, what Jesus taught them last week as we studied. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit does something for lost people, and today we're studying what he did for the disciples and us. Before we come to Jesus Christ, Jesus says the Holy Spirit's role is to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We talked last week to say that we don't have that role. We try to bring conviction to people. We try to change people. And we get frustrated when people don't change. But we said very clearly last week, our job is just to be the witnesses. Our job is to hold out the truth. And we trust the Holy Spirit to be the one who convicts us of sin because we are all sinful. We trust the Holy Spirit to convict of righteousness because Jesus is the only one who's righteous. We are unrighteous. We fail at it, even in one part, and we know that we are unrighteous. The Holy Spirit convicts us of judgment because before we are in Jesus, we are in the kingdom of darkness, and the judgment that is happening towards Satan is that he's going to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. The Holy Spirit convicts of those things. So for those of you in this room, those who are listening online, who have placed faith in Jesus Christ, you say, how did I understand all those things? What brought you to the point, whether it was in a moment or whether it was the period of time to help you to realize you were in need of Jesus? You say, maybe it was the preacher who did it. Maybe it was the music that you heard. No, no. All those were means that God used to be, the Holy Spirit uses to bring you under conviction. The Holy Spirit works in those things. Some of you sitting in this very room have testimonies. It wasn't someone talking to you. It wasn't someone preaching to you. It wasn't a song. You just opened up the Word of God, and God used the Word to convict you of sin, help you realize you needed Jesus. God uses all those things, but what is clear is that the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts. Today, what we need to see is that once we become a believer in Jesus Christ, and he lives in us, he then promises to do two things that we're going to see in this passage of Scripture. Number one, and that is to guide us. When we struggle in this life, often it is because we are not depending upon the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that our lives are going to be easy, but there's a promise that he is going to guide us. Now, the specific thing that we're going to see in this passage of Scripture today is that he's going to guide us into understanding truth. Understanding truth. The second thing that we're going to see in this passage of Scripture is that the role of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. Now, what I want you to see in this passage of Scripture today, as he talks to the disciples first, we're going to see what Jesus meant for them, and then we're going to apply it to us. But here's what I want you to understand very clearly. Guidance by the Holy Spirit serves the purpose of glorifying Jesus. The role of the Holy Spirit is one primary thing, and that is to bring glory to the Son. So all that he does in our lives, as we're going to see today, conviction, illumination, and guidance is all pointed to the glorification of Jesus Christ. So this is why, even to connect it to who we are as our church, Redemption Church exists to what? Glorify God. Because we say that, as we're going to see in this passage of Scripture today, this is not just Byron's thinking. I want you to see today from Jesus' own words that he says the role of the Holy Spirit is to bring me glory. And if that's the role of the Holy Spirit, and he lives in you, then guess what that means your role is supposed to be? To bring him glory. We're going to see these two passages of Scripture, see these two points rather, to help us to understand then practically what does that look like in our lives. Well, let's read the passage in context. We're going to study verses 12 through 15, but I want you to see the passage of Scripture. Let's read verses 4 through verses 15 as we begin to unpack this verse and how we can be able to apply it to our lives. Some of you sitting in this very room this morning are probably came in here wondering, how am I going to get through such and such? What is God's will for such and such? Is God going to give me wisdom for these things? Is God going to help me in these things? And I want you to see today as we unpack this, the role of the Holy Spirit is to guide you. All right, verse 4, John chapter 16. I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now remember, the Helper we defined according to John chapter 14, verse 26 is who? The Holy Spirit. Okay, verse 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they don't believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Now notice verse 12. I have still many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Notice verse 13 and notice verse 14, the two words that we see that Jesus is saying about the Holy Spirit. He will guide you. Verse 13. Verse 14, he will what? Glorify me. Those are the two aspects that he's saying right here about the disciples. Now, here's where I'm making the contrast. Notice in verse 8, we know very specifically when he's talking about the Holy Spirit's role to the world. Notice it again. And when he comes, he will convict the who? World, which is we know based on the context of Scripture that he's referring to those who are lost, those who have not placed faith in Jesus Christ. And then in verse 13, notice who he's speaking to. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide who? You, not the world, because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit's role for lost people is to outwardly convict them, help them to understand sin and righteousness and judgment. Then when he dwells in us, he's then our God. He then is the one who's going to bring glorification to Jesus. So here's the two things that we're seeing in this passage of Scripture. So let's unpack this first one, that the Holy Spirit will guide believers into truth. Now, he's speaking to who right now? The disciples. So understand that we know that they are literally in this moment, they are distraught because of what Jesus had said. Because notice what he says in verse 12. Look at the text again. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Why can they not bear it right now? Because go back to verse 6 of this same chapter. Notice what Jesus said. Because I've said these things to you. What was the things that he said to them? That he was leaving. And the fact that they were going to be suffering, persecution. He says, I've said these things to you, but what's their response in verse 6? Sorrow has filled their heart. So when Jesus says down here in verses 12 that he has more to say to them and they can't bear it, it's because they are in an emotional, distraught situation of their life right now. I mean, they're literally thinking that the person that has been with them, that has guided them, who has taught them, who has been there with them for 3 years is literally about to leave. So they can't really ponder anything else. Remember, we see back in chapter 12 and chapter 13, it wrecked their world when they begin to learn that Jesus was going to be leaving because Peter's like, well, wait a minute, what are you doing? Thomas asked a question. And we have these other disciples asking questions, trying to get their mind wrapped around this idea that the person that they thought was coming was now leaving. And so Jesus has taught them, but he says, look, I've got more to teach you, but you just can't bear it right now. Well, guess what? There's not more days to come for Jesus to teach. There's not weeks for Jesus to teach. There's not months. There's hours clicking down before Jesus is going to be arrested. So Jesus is saying to them, look, I can't say all these things to you, but I want you to understand what's going to happen is that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's going to guide you into all the truth. So put the two and two together. Jesus is saying there's more to come, but you can't handle it right now. But when he comes, he's going to guide you into all the truth. So understand the role of the Holy Spirit for the disciples is there was more for them to get. And the Holy Spirit was going to be able to bring that illumination to them. Let me just help you to understand practically what this looks like. You have probably experienced yourself or you know individuals who've been so stricken with grief that even though people are saying things to you, you see their lips moving, but it's just not registering. So as a pastor and studying people who've gone through grief, I have learned and been taught and modeled that there's something called the ministry of presence. It's important oftentimes just to be with people rather than just trying to tell people a bunch of stuff. There's time for that. But there's times also you can say whatever you want to, and some people may say, Listen, I know I've preached more funerals than I can count right now, but I can tell you there's times that I can be preaching and the people are tired. They're exhausted. They're numb. They're affected emotionally. And so I'm not sitting up here preaching an hour and a half sermon for a funeral because you know that they're tired physically. And that's why when you're, even as your friends and you know, maybe you yourself, have experienced that. This is what the disciples are experiencing. Jesus has not gone yet, but they realize he's about to. And Jesus says, you just can't handle it right now. But the Holy Spirit's going to come. And boom! He's going to give it to you. He's going to enlighten them, to give them the guidance into understanding all the truths that's going to happen here. But let me just explain something to you. Notice with me, I don't want you to miss this significance. Notice how Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, what's the next word? He will come. Please do not diminish the pronoun of he. Because Jesus is not saying that the force is going to come to you. He's not, now you're thinking Star Wars. That's not what I'm talking about. But we often think of the Holy Spirit as just some kind of supernatural superpower here. Understand that Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit as one of the triune Godheads. The divine Godhead says, He's coming to you. He will. This is why, let me point it back to you again. Go back to chapter 14, verses 16. I just want to draw your attention to it once again. Jesus says, I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper. Remember what that word another means as we have studied that? It's another of the exact same kind. The Holy Spirit's not a lower level. He's equal. He's fully God. And so Jesus is saying, look, He's coming to you. So when we're understanding, you think, well, why didn't Jesus give it to Him? And they've got to relegate it to the Holy Spirit. Understand the Holy Spirit is God. So when the Holy Spirit comes, He's given them the truth. That's why, look at verse 13. Notice what Jesus says about what He's going to guide them into the truth. He will not speak on His own authority, or some of your translations may say He's not going to talk about Himself. He's going to speak of Himself, or what He's meaning in that aspect. He's speaking on the authority of Christ, but whatever He hears, He will speak. He will declare to you the things that are come, because He is declaring what God has given Him, God the Father. So the Holy Spirit is going to guide them into all what? Truth. Now remember, Jesus has already proclaimed in John 14, 6, He says, I am the way and the truth. The Holy Spirit, listen closely, is not going to teach anything contrary to the truth of Christ. He is going to teach them everything that is in line with what is already true. So it is important, let me just give you an application at this particular point for your life and my life. If you hear anything, or you feel that God has told you something, if it is contrary to the truth of God and the truth of Jesus, I don't care what you think. If it's not in line with Scripture, it's not from God. So we have to ask ourselves this question. What I'm hearing, what I'm thinking, does it align with the character of God, the character of Jesus, and the truth of His Word? If it does not, it is not from God. So when Jesus is saying to them, look, there's more for you to understand, and the Holy Spirit's going to come, and He's going to help them to understand it because it's the Spirit of truth. Listen, God never lies. God's character is the same. And if the Holy Spirit is God, then when He comes and when He teaches them, it's going to be in line with what is true. Now let's play this out. So you have the Gospels, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then we have 27 books in the New Testament, which leaves us 23. There are some who are out there who would say these words, I don't follow anybody's teaching except Jesus, and I'm only going to follow Jesus' teaching alone. Well, that leaves you Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now you have 23 other books in the New Testament. What they mean by that is they'll follow Jesus' teaching, but they're not going to follow the 13 books that Paul wrote. They're not going to follow the four other books that John the Apostle wrote, or the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, as well as Revelation. That means that they're not going to follow 1st and 2nd Peter. That means they're not going to follow James. They're going to follow Jude. They're going to follow Hebrews. There's a problem. Because Jesus says, there's more for you to learn. There's more for you to hear. And through the Holy Spirit, He's going to guide you into all the truth. Here's the thing I want you to understand. The Scriptures that we have, outside of the Gospels, are just as equally the Word of God as what we have of the Gospels that contain Jesus' life. The Holy Spirit's giving them all truth. They're going to guide them into those things. Now, how is the Holy Spirit going to guide them? There's two specific things that I want you to get, and then we're going to apply this to us. Because if you look at the text, He says the Spirit's going to come. Remember, Jesus is going to go. So Jesus is saying there's still more things. Because look, look closely, look at verse 13, and then I'm going to show you two specific ways that the Holy Spirit is going to guide them, and then we're going to apply it to us. Look at 13 again. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. Now, let me just point out to you, He didn't say for some of the truth. If it was some of the truth, then that would mean that there's still things left to be revealed. If Jesus says He's going to guide you into all the truth, and that means through the apostles, then what Jesus wants the church to get, even today in 2022, He gave them everything that we need. So false teachers who come many years later, who say they've been given some new truth, is contrary to what Jesus has already said right here, because He's given them the truth. You follow me? So He's going to declare to them. He's going to guide them. Well, He's told them how He's going to guide them. There's two specific ways. Number one, when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to help them to remember what has already been proclaimed. Look with me, let me show you this. Look at chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus makes it clear in chapter 14, verse 26, what the role of the Holy Spirit is going to be. When the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. So here, Jesus is focusing on two aspects. The Holy Spirit's going to teach you and He's going to help you to remember. Now, in chapter 16, He's focusing more on the teaching component, but I think it's important that we show the remembrance component as well. Where does this show up in the Scripture? What does that mean that He's going to help them remember? You ever had a moment in your life where someone has told you something, it didn't click until much later? Let's put it to you practically. Those of you who are adults, had your parents say something to you when you were a child or a teenager, and you thought they were the dumbest people on the planet? And then you get older and you're like, man, they really know what they were talking about. Right? Can I get a big amen out of that, right? And you're like, oh man, I blew it. You remembered. So what I want you to see is the Holy Spirit's going to bring to their remembrance, that's the first thing, the things that Jesus has taught them. Because again, He's going to be the Spirit of truth, so He's not going to go contrary to what Jesus has taught them. So let me show you one example of this. In the Gospel of John, go to John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, the context that's happening here is that Jesus is cleansing the temple. Because remember that what's happening here, you have people who are setting up tables and they're blocking the ability for worship for the Gentiles that's there. And Jesus turns over the tables and Jesus then makes this explanation that you destroy the temple, and then He's going to raise it up in 3 days. I want you to see what John the Apostle himself, made it clear that he didn't understand it until after the resurrection. Remember, the Holy Spirit's going to help them remember what Jesus said. Here's an example. It's John chapter 2. Let's look at verse 18. So the Jews said to Him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But He was speaking about the temple of His body. When therefore He was what? So after resurrection, correct? So when He was raised from the dead, His disciples remembered that He had said this, and they believed the Scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Now, so here we have an example where John the Apostle is actually giving us, by explanation and by his own word, what Jesus says that He was going to do in John chapter 16. Now, remember, this is written after Jesus' death, after His resurrection, because they were busy doing ministry. So it wasn't until much later that John writes this down. So he's writing honestly. And so this is one of those moments that we're reading through the whole gospel, and we say, ah, that's one of those moments. But the Holy Spirit brought to remembrance one of those things that He had taught them. That's just one example. There are others in the gospels. But Jesus is saying to them, look what's going to happen to you. The Holy Spirit's going to come. Right now you're distraught, but He's going to help you. All those things that I've taught you, those seeds, those truths, He's going to bring to your remembrance. I can't tell you how many times the Holy Spirit has done that in my own life. Brought to remembrance things that were here. Now, we'll come back to that in just a moment, because I want to make it very practical for us, how He guides us. But go back to John chapter 16, and I want you to see the second part. So He's going to guide them by helping them to remember. But the second part He talks about is that He's going to declare to them things to come. Look at the text. in John 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. All right, now we know that he's going to help them to remember, but there's still things that are to come that he's going to reveal through the Holy Spirit to declare to them. So you say, how does that happen? Where does that work? All right, so listen to me. If you take the Gospels and set them to the side, as I mentioned to you earlier, you have 23 other books that are the evidence of things to come, of the evidence of what the Holy Spirit was going to inspire the apostles to write that was either going to be pointing back to Jesus, to reminding them about the truths of Jesus, or revealing things that were necessary for the church, doctrinally, methodologically, or structurally. So he's saying to them, right now, you can't handle all of it, but that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to declare to you the things that are to come. Now I want to show you an example of what this means, the method of how this happened. I mentioned to you earlier to have 2 Peter 1 mark. So please turn there with me now. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. It is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 21 that we see the example here where Peter is talking about the way by which the Holy Spirit was going to reveal the truths to them, to guide them into the new truths. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the who? Holy Spirit. So Peter is giving us the further explanation of what Jesus is even talking about when he's telling the disciples, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, is going to guide you and he's going to reveal to you things that are to come. And now Peter is saying the methodology of how that happens, the Holy Spirit guided them. Each of them have their own personality. Look, if you read the books that Paul wrote and you compare that to the way Peter wrote, the styles are different. The mood of the text is different because God used their personalities differently to use those things. When you read Luke and how he wrote the Gospel of Luke and how he wrote the Gospel or read the book of Acts, it's different in the way by which Matthew wrote because God is carrying them along by the Holy Spirit. That is the way that he's revealing things that are to come. Let me give you five things, just as examples. What else had to be taught that Jesus hadn't taught yet? I mean, is it sufficient for us to understand that Jesus gave his life for us and that he's what we need for salvation? Is that good? Absolutely, it's good. But there are certain things that Jesus didn't teach in its entirety or full development until after the Holy Spirit came to give the illumination and insight into the apostles. I'll give you an example. I'm going to give you five. They're not going to be on the screen. I'm just going to give you just five examples. I wrote down five just to help us to understand. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we see where God, through Paul, gives insight of the qualifications for pastors and deacons, of what's healthy for the church. Jesus didn't talk about pastors and deacons. We don't see it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But by Paul being carried along by the Holy Spirit, one of those things yet to come that the Holy Spirit's carrying him along, and we are the value of the benefit of that because we then look at that from a methodology standpoint and a structural standpoint, what is requirements? Let me give you another one. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, gives us insight into spiritual warfare to let us know that spiritual warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and about all the rulers in the world. Now, did Jesus talk about spiritual warfare? Certainly we knew that he told Peter, said, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. But we have Paul who then gives us a full explanation about the armor of God. So we see an example here in regard to what Jesus is saying. Let me give you just a couple more. We see in Romans, for example, 9 through 11, where we understand how Gentiles were grafted into God's plan to be a part of this wonderful, beautiful picture of God's redemption of Gentiles and Jews. There's just a few examples. I could give you more. But there's one example I will give you at the very end. Jesus tells us that he's going to let them have further revelation through the Holy Spirit of things to come. It is through the Apostle John that we get this beautiful picture of understanding what's going to happen in that final battle when Satan is going to be defeated and all of his angels are going to be cast in the lake of fire, and then believers are going to spend eternity with him for all glory. And so it's things yet to come that he reveals to them. So we thank God for the work of the Holy Spirit to give them illumination so that we are the benefactors of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Now, how does that work for us? Let's start with the second one. There is no new revelation that we need that Jesus has not already revealed. Because he said, I'm going to tell you all truth. So if someone says, I got a new revelation. Now, we use that word loosely. And what we mean by that oftentimes is that we've got a new insight. Or we've got something that God has revealed to us that we're supposed to do. But it's not some new doctrine that hadn't been around for 2,000 years. You know, that's how heresies get started. That's how false teachers come about. And they say, well, the Lord has revealed to me. And you're like, wait a minute, what happened 2,000 years ago? I mean, what was not there that we finally just get? You understand, that's how false teaching has happened with Islam as well as Mormonism. Because they both had an angel that revealed secrets to Muhammad as well as Joseph Smith. Remember what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 when the church at Galatia had been misled? He said, I am amazed that you are so quickly led astray by this false teaching. He says, even if an angel comes and says anything contrary to me, don't listen to it. So the point is that can Jesus declare new things to us? No. The way the Holy Spirit works is, even as Ecclesiastes tells, there's nothing new under the sun. Now, for example, when Jesus came, these weren't around. Better for them, right? Okay? Here's what I'm saying. How does the Spirit declare things to us? There's not new truth, but there can be new application. Do you understand? Truth is truth. And new application means that what becomes our distraction was probably different for their distractions. And the way that we can get sucked into the things of this world are just different than the way that they got sucked into the things of the world. But the Holy Spirit can still declare to us the truth. For example, the truth meaning love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and all your mind. The things that can take our love may be different today than things that were then. For example, we don't see Paul saying, when you wake up in the morning, put your cell phone down. But we do see that we are to crucify the flesh, to crucify the things that take our affections. You see, the Holy Spirit can declare a new application to us. But the truth is here, church. I just want you to understand you have what we need. But guidance. How will the Holy Spirit guide us? What is the specific role? Look back at John chapter 16. What is the specific thing that Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit's guidance is going to be? Look for them, he says in verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. So the Holy Spirit's job for them was to guide them into the truth, to understand the truth. Remember we said to remember things and to declare things. But we understand the truth of the Spirit is in us to help us also learn the truths of Scripture. So the Holy Spirit carries us along. To guide us to understand, to guide us to remember, to guide us to understand how to apply the lives of Scripture. So let me show you an example of this. 1 John chapter 2 that was on the screen that you see at the top. Turn there with me. I want you to see how this works in us. What the Holy Spirit's job is in us to guide us. And then we're going to make the connection to that to glorification. 1 John chapter 2, we're going to look at 1 John 2:20, and then we're going to look at the third passage, second, which is chapter 3:24, and then we're going to go back to 26. You're going to understand the order as we do this. Notice what John, this is John the Apostle who wrote this letter to the church. He says, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have what? Okay, the Holy One that he's referring to here. Understand, this is the Holy One who's anointing. You're not anointed with the Holy One, but anointed by the Holy One. The Holy One is another title that is in reference to Jesus. give you that passage of scripture we're not going to have time to look at, but Mark chapter 1, verse 24. When Jesus is in the synagogue and there's a man that's possessed by a demon, when Jesus walks in, the demon says, "What are you going to do with us, O Holy One of God?" So when John the Apostle is saying, "You've been anointed by the Holy One," this is the exact same principle and truth that he's talking about in John 14 and John 16, when he says, "When I'm going away, I'm going to send another helper to you." Now, how do we know that he's referring to the Holy Spirit? John chapter, 1 John 3, same book, 1 John 3, verse 24. Actually, there's verse 23. So we know that we can make the connection here between Jesus and the Holy Spirit, him anointing, and how he helps us and guides us. Verse 23 of 1 John 3. "This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us." He has commanded. Who's he referring to? Jesus. "Whoever keeps his commandments." Who's the he? His. Jesus. "Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." So who's the Holy One in chapter 2? Jesus. Chapter 3, he says, "We know that he has anointed you with the Spirit." Now, what does the Anointed One in us, the Holy Spirit, do for us? Look at chapter 2 now, verse 24. "Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise that he made to us, eternal life." Verse 26. "I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you." Now, do you see the connections? The anointing that you have from him abides in you. The anointing from him being Jesus abides in you, the Holy Spirit. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing, what? Teaches you about what? About what? Everything. And is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Do you hear the connection of what John is saying here in this letter as what we see that Jesus is saying in John chapter 16? The Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to guide you. John the Apostle expands and says, the Holy Spirit who comes in us, he's going to teach you all that you need. Now, does that mean you don't need a body of believers? Does that mean you don't need small groups? Does that mean you don't need a church? No. If you're on an island by yourself, then by God's grace, by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, it's all you need. But how valuable it is when we have the Holy Spirit and then we have other mature believers to help us grow in Christ. We have iron that sharpens iron. We have mature people helping immature people. We have people who've walked with faith for a long time helping those who are babies in Christ. That's discipling people. That's what Jesus said to do. So please don't divorce this truth from all of what Jesus has said. But what we need to understand is the Holy Spirit is there to guide us to understand the Word. How does that work? I'm going to just talk about my life. How does the Holy Spirit guide me? How do I depend upon the Holy Spirit? When I sit in the mornings just to be with the Lord, when I'm reading the Word, when I'm studying the Word, I am praying, Holy Spirit, please help me to understand the truths of your Word. We do not need to come to the Word thinking that we've got it all figured out, thinking that we're the ones who know better. We need to depend upon the Holy Spirit to teach us to understand the Word of God. When I stand to teach, even as I'm standing here to preach this morning, before I even come to the building, I'm praying at home. I pray in my office. I pray in my seat. I pray here on the stage. As people are praying for me, I'm saying, Lord, please help me to be able to speak what is true. Bring to my mind truths that I need to proclaim. I can't tell you how many times that I will study and I'll have notes this down, and the Holy Spirit will bring scriptures to my mind that I need to say to you. That's why sometimes I will say, this one's not on the screen because it's not in my notes. And so if the Holy Spirit's bringing it to me, then obviously it needs to be said to someone in the room. So I'm teaching and the Lord is guiding me through the Holy Spirit. Give you another example. When I'm witnessing to people, I am praying. If the opportunity comes, I'm quietly praying, Lord, help me, guide me. And it's amazing. I'm not pulling out my card of like things that I need to say. And there's nothing wrong with that if you're at that particular point and sharing the gospel. There's times that I could just be sitting there and a scripture that I've memorized, the Lord brings it to my mind in that particular moment. When I'm counseling people, I'm sitting there and praying before I even begin to counsel. I'm praying, Lord, help me to know through your Holy Spirit, through the word, what I need to say to these individuals with what they need to hear. And then even just when I'm as a father, I'm asking the Lord to help me as a father to be able to understand the scripture so I can be able to lead them well. Guidance. What I'm saying is Holy Spirit is not just here to help you when you're in this building. We need him every moment of our day, in our decision making, in our witnessing, in every aspect of our life that we're saying, God, please help us and guide us. Now, I grew up hearing this phrase often when I was as a little boy. This phrase would be used almost like a catch ending of a prayer. And Lord, lead and guide us in all that we do. Now, that's fine in that catchphrase, but oftentimes I don't think we understand the paramount of what we should be praying. We need to trust that the Holy Spirit who is in you wants to guide you, wants to lead you. But how many of us put him at bay and only reach for the guidance just when we are in a desperate situation? That's not the Holy Spirit's role. He wants to lead us and guide us because of the second truth. Because the Holy Spirit's primary job is to bring glory to the Son. And the means that he brings glory to the Son through us is guiding us into truth. Look at the text. Go back to John chapter 16. I want to connect these two things for you. John chapter 16. Look at verse 13 and 14. And then we'll connect them. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. Verse 14. He will glorify me. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Notice the connection. Verse 13, he's going to guide them by declaring things to them. Everybody saw that? Yes? But verse 14, he says, and when he comes, he's going to glorify me by declaring to you the truth. So we can separate the two and say he's going to guide us. But then what Jesus says is the guidance of understanding truth is the way that he's going to help the believers to glorify Jesus. So the more that we're understanding about Christ, the more that brings glory to Christ. Because the more that we understand about truth, the more that we know how to live truth. The more that he illuminates our minds, the more that we know what to do to bring him glory. There's a lot. This is one of the things I love. I could teach on this one for hours. Because I want us to understand this element of how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. So if the Holy Spirit is going to teach them, so all those things that I mentioned to you before of the new things that were to come, when you're looking at 1 Corinthians, you're looking at Galatians, you're looking at Ephesians, you're looking at Colossians, you're looking at Thessalonians, you're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul's talking about what's going to happen, the dead in Christ is going to rise first, bringing God glory because now we understand what's going to happen at the resurrection. We understand Ephesians chapter 6 as Paul is writing that down about spiritual warfare and equipping us to know how to put on the spiritual armor of God, bringing God glory because now he has helped us to understand how we are to stand in the battle that brings God glory. And the Holy Spirit's in our lives to remind us of truths because his role is to bring him glory. So let me show you how this works. Do you know why the Holy Spirit brings conviction to you as a believer? He brings conviction of sin to bring you to Jesus. And then when you're in Christ, he convicts you of sin because if the Holy Spirit's job is to speak truth to you to bring glory to Jesus, the goal is he wants to make certain that you and I are living in a way that glorifies the Son. So, for example, let's put these two and two together. Imagine with me that you are struggling with being impatient towards somebody. Does that happen to anybody in the room? Maybe this morning, right? But let's say that you're feeling a struggle inside of you. You feel it boiling inside of you. Been there? How many of you have blown the top and wish you hadn't have blown the top? Okay. In that moment, whether you're about to blow the top or whether you've blown the top, the Holy Spirit's role is to guide you to truth so that you will glorify the Son. So the principle and the truth that you know, for example, Galatians says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. So the Holy Spirit's guiding you into truth because the impatience is not going to glorify the Son. You understand? Give me another example. If you're studying the Word of God, we'll get off of sin for a moment. And the Holy Spirit is illuminating your understanding of a truth. Holy Spirit's job is to bring glory to Jesus. And the more that we know and understand about God, the more we want to praise the Son. And so if the Holy Spirit is illuminating our minds to understand the greatness of God, it often results in praise to the goodness of God. So for example, when you understand, you're studying Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, and you understand that Christ is the one who's holding all things together. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that you understand it's through the word of Christ that the universe is held in its place. And the Holy Spirit illuminates that to you. It results in praise and makes you want to trust in the fact that even if my life is chaotic, that He's got it together. If my marriage is in chaos or my health is falling apart, I can rest because the Holy Spirit has helped me to remember those truths, to hold to those truths. And so what happens is I glorify the Son. Are you seeing it? Oh, I hope so. But how about one more? I got more, but I'm just going to give you one more. How about if the Holy Spirit is wanting to prompt you or prompting you to do something that is in line with the text of Scripture? For example, is it biblical to share the good news with people? You better not say no on that one. Because Acts 1:8 says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So if the Holy Spirit is prompting you to say something of the gospel to people, the purpose of doing that is because He wants to glorify the Son and to see that person redeemed so that they can glorify the Son. So the prompting by the Spirit of God is so that you can glorify Jesus. Now, even if the Holy Spirit's prompting you for something else, for example, not just sharing the gospel, but what if the Holy Spirit's prompting you to close your mouth? Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So sometimes the Lord is telling us to say something of good news, but sometimes the best thing we can do is close our yapper. Because if what we're about to say is not going to bring Him glory, the best thing we can do is be obedient to the Spirit so that we can glorify Jesus in our silence. I'll give you one more. In our world and our culture, we're inundated with things that are not God-honoring. One of the things that we need to understand is sometimes the best thing we can do is turn off the TV, walk away from a conversation, get rid of certain things in our lives, because we know 1 Corinthians 15:33 says bad company corrupts good character. So if you're sitting there and you're watching something and you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit, there's a reason. If you're in a conversation that things are not God-honoring and you're laughing along with it, there's a conviction by the Spirit of God. Why? Because there's a reason. The Holy Spirit who's in you doesn't want to participate in those things that don't bring Him glory. So the conviction that we felt beforehand is the conviction that we feel now. Why? Because we exist to glorify the Son. And the Holy Spirit's job is to help us to do that. So if we're saying, oh Lord, please help me, then one of the things we need to do is listen and obey. Now we have to, in our lives, crucify the flesh over and over and over again. You say, when does that stop? When Jesus takes you home. But until then, we need to desperately depend upon the Spirit of God. Whether you're a child, whether you're a teenager, or whether you're an adult. But listen to the promise of God that He wants to guide us into all truth. Today we have the privilege to see a picture of this work through a young man's life as he gives us his testimony, and as we see his work and his testimony of these very things. We get to see his testimony and his baptism this morning. And I want you to connect these two things. This was not orchestrated, but it was the work of the Holy Spirit. Even in this young man's testimony, he speaks about the conviction of the Spirit of God prior to salvation. And then even the work of the Spirit in his life after salvation. After this testimony, we're going to have a time to respond. Maybe God is working in you to help you to realize your own life has not yet bowed to the Spirit who's been convicting you. Maybe He's working in you as a believer what you need to do, and He's trying to guide you to glorify His name. You need to listen to Him. But let's be encouraged now by this beautiful testimony and the picture of our brother professing his faith in Jesus.
It didn't feel like one whole moment that I was saved. It felt like there was multiple days that I just felt God pushing me. And I would just break down while singing because I knew I needed Him. But one day I just couldn't stop. I needed Him more than I ever needed Him in that moment. So I asked for forgiveness of my sins. We were just singing glory to God. And as I was singing, it was a song like At Calvary or something. And I realized that I needed Him. I asked that He would live in me and that He would be my Lord and my Savior. What my life was like before I was saved, it was just sin. I don't really have anything else to say in that matter, but I just wasn't saved. I was acting out of sinfulness. Since I have been saved, I felt the Lord saying, "Hey, you did this." So I asked forgiveness to Him. And I've seen myself looking at things that are sinful and saying no, because now I know that He would not want me to do that. I feel like He's called me to Russia to be a missionary there. So I've also. And so in that, I feel like I need to read my Bible more than I have been. Read it. So I try to read it consistently day to day. And I find it much easier to read it. I guess I would say that we've all sinned, I have sin. And the only way you can get rid of that sin is to turn to Jesus, to turn to the one who died and rose again, and ask for forgiveness and believe. Believe in him that he was crucified for us. I'd like to thank my mom and dad. I would like to thank the church, just the people who've shared Christ with me. Like my family, everyone. I would like that our church prays for me and just pray for understanding the Bible. Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
It's an awesome and amazing testimony, church. An awesome, amazing to hear the gospel from such a young person. This one's mine, so it's a little more emotional. But I'm just so proud and grateful for the work of God. I'm so proud and grateful that Declan submitted, and I'm so proud and grateful that he really truly understands the gospel and his need and his heart for others and his heart for really the world to grasp the gospel, this great truth. So I pray you heard this from his lips. This is, and it's been just a joy as a parent, just to watch God work in such a young life and see him just move so fully and completely. And I'm just so grateful to be your dad. So, Declan, have you acknowledged Christ as King over your life?
Yes.
Awesome. And Declan, by your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life. I love you. Pray, church. Father God, I thank you so much for my son. I thank you for the privilege of being his father. I thank you for the work that you've so clearly and evidently accomplished in his life. And I pray, Father, you've heard his heart. He longs to understand your word, that he might take it to the nations. And so I pray that you would be faithful to work that in him. And may the gospel that he proclaimed today, may he proclaim that evermore, Lord. In the power of your name, Jesus. Amen. I love you.
Just stand with me as we have a time of response. You heard from Declan's own life, where he felt God convicted him of his own sin, and then God's working in him once he was saved. You've heard the word today. Holy Spirit comes to guide us. And so I pray that if you are a believer, that you are sensing and obeying the Spirit of God in your own life. And maybe as a believer today, you may have to acknowledge, I've not listened to the Spirit of God. I've not been obeying the Spirit of God. He might be convicting you. You've just been pushing it aside. But today, maybe you say, Lord, I need to surrender to what you're telling me to do. So I don't know what it is in your life that he's guiding you to do, but you need to listen. Maybe some of you in this room, just like Declan, the Holy Spirit's convicting you for salvation and the need for Jesus. Today you can respond. You can admit that you were sinful and that he can be your Savior. You can do that right where you are, or you can do that up here with me, whatever way that you feel is best for you. But let's obey him. As we sing this song, Take My Life, let's let this be a prayer to Jesus as we sing and respond now.